The Louisiana State Legislature met last evening and have come out crafting a redistricting policy proposal that will go back to one minority-majority district. There was no doubt that the second district, clearly, the evidence reveals that the motivation, the intent of all the parties involved was to create a second minority-majority district. As a result of the Calais case ruled upon by the United States Supreme Court, race cannot be the predominant issue in creating a district, or any part of the issue, quite frankly. And we have seen a series of cases that have been moving in this direction for quite a long time. What's interesting to me is how everybody are so surprised about this. It's amazing to me that a case has not been reviewed by the U.S. Supreme Court on this particular issue for a while. Everyone goes to the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act was more about removing the impediments from voting, not guaranteeing an outcome of an election. And in fact, there's language there that seems to imply, and it's kind of direct language, actually, that we're not about to try to achieve proportionality in the outcomes of elections. This was about removing these barriers that were silly, they were stupid, they were racist, they were designed to try to systematically diminish the amount of minority voters that would be able to vote on any given election. That's what the Voting Rights Act was put in place to do, to remove those barriers, to make sure that they were no longer there, that everybody adhered to the same qualifications that were necessary to be able to vote. Some of these things were cuckoo, didn't make any sense. We knew what the intentions were at that time. Afterwards, we knew all through the process. I don't think there's anybody out there saying that they didn't. It's just kind of interesting that where we find ourselves in this country of talking about, you know, going back in time, that we're trying to eliminate the possibility. And I don't really quite understand this argument. I don't know how you can embrace racism by law in order to deal with racism by law, where you can give preference by law, which is the very nature of racism, and expect to do away with racism. It doesn't quite work that way. And then as you divide up through the country into states, into locales, into communities, it gets even stickier as to how you're going to ultimately achieve these things as an outcome. The governor said on 60 Minutes the other night, and I think he was right when he said, and they were questioning as to why would you cancel the election, when he simply went straight to the point, I think he's right. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court said that that district was unconstitutional. So why would I want to elect someone to an unconstitutional district? It will be challenged and it will go away and we'll have to go through this whole thing again. Why not just address it now? The follow-up question was, well, there were 4,800 votes that were cast. Okay. There are votes cast all the time when candidates drop out. And we just simply discard those votes. But they're going to get a chance. Everyone will get a chance to vote in whatever the districts are going to look like ultimately once they go through this whole process in the fall. But I can't understand any argument to suggest that we should move forward in electing someone to an unconstitutional district. The evidence is clear. In fact, most of the folks are not even attacking the evidence at all. because the record speaks for itself as to what the motivation and what the intent was in the creation of the second district. I guess the big concern was is that theoretically, because of the language in Calais, we could question whether or not the other district, which is held by Troy Carter, would be a problem as well. And I don't know how we got to the maintenance of that one district. It was what I hoped that they would do all along, is make it clear that the one district that was created, that everybody knew was going to ultimately be a problem if the Supreme Court ever ruled on this case, and it did, that it seems like, in my mind, this is the appropriate outcome. Now, you know what's interesting when we talk about the clerk and all of the situations there, and we talk about what not only Republican-dominated states as well as Democrat-dominated states have done over the last three decades as it relates to gerrymandering, as it relates to consolidation of government and everything else. We're talking about how this has racial overtones and this, that, and otherwise. But it's amazing how it only goes one way, right? So let's look at the situation with the clerk. I remember hearing ad nauseum from Democrats at one point in time that elections have consequences. Elections have consequences. And when elections lead to a supermajority of one party or the other, and that party decides to embark upon cost-saving measures and the revenues that are handed down, state-mandated cost and everything else, not that I like all of this, I'm just telling you this is how this works. Elections have consequences. And obviously, timing, you can draw and try to say that there's some type of intention one way or another. But one might say that the best way to show everyone that elections have consequences is to pick your timing. Maybe they're picking this timing to send a message. I don't know. But it's funny how we don't talk about how elections have consequences. And I would suspect that there's going to be a lot more consequences coming this way. The danger when you elect a series of individuals over a period of time that never deliver a quality product, an efficient government, one where they are good fiscal stewards of the monies within that city, you create a landscape, an environment that is ripe for elections having not only consequences, but serious consequences. And for some, even more than others. Some will eat plenty crow. Others, not as much. But this isn't anything new. And for anybody to say that this is unfair on the part of one party or the other, obviously doesn't study history. Because this happens all the time across this country. Let's look to the states that gerrymandered and in their state in a way where only one party is represented throughout the entire state. Only one. There's no shot for others to get elected. That was done with intentionality. Elections have consequences. They've held the majority in that state, Massachusetts, for example. This has been going on for decades. It's part of this whole thing that I talk about, saying this isn't about me and it's not about you. It's about them. It's about the perpetuation of the party. It's about the perpetuation of the vote count inside the Beltway. Plain and simple. We are just spectators because we are not getting involved enough as to what we want to see. The majority of the country is somewhere, you know, center right, center left. It's been that way for most of my adulthood. But why is it that the outcomes are not? Because they devised a system that minimizes center left and center right. Because it's not about us. And we often wonder why, when we are talking about, and the talking heads at the national level are talking about elections having consequences, why we end up with certain things the way they are. And for the first time, the fringes are pushing back big time on all of this. But we, those that fall in the middle, and that's kind of where I put myself, socially moderate, fiscally conservative, we're not pushing anywhere collectively, collaboratively together. We're very disjointed. It's just kind of the nature of being in the middle. I get it. But that's how this whole thing is set up. And I really think it's disingenuous when the players inside the Beltway want to go to the mic or go to the podium and start calling the other sides, and both sides guilty of this, all kinds of names, being racist, doing this, doing that. They've all done it themselves before. We can point to this every time. Give me a name, any name, and I'll go put a dossier together of exactly the same conduct at some point in time during their career. So for me, it's all just noise. I said it yesterday. This is performative, what's going on here. Let's go to the streets and push back. I said yesterday, too, that I'd spoken to a number of Democrat lawyers about the Voting Rights Act and where we have ended up and the actual words in Section 2 and what they mean. And asked, how did we get to where we are? They all chuckled. It actually turned out being compromises and this and that, you know, amongst a whole lot of other people in order to placate folks having nothing to do with the law. And it's amazing that's how everybody viewed it. They won't say it publicly. They won't assign their name to it. But they recognize that's exactly what has happened. And it's just another example of game that's being played here. Everyone would do well by ignoring the three-ring circus, by ignoring these performative acts that are being conducted by our elected officials right now. Right now, we have little or no money. We're teetering every day, and yet we are going to go and get involved in all kinds of litigation. And for the sake of the performance, we're going to eliminate an office that has that's held by a minority in order to punish the whole, to try and send a message to Baton Rouge about what they're doing with the consolidation. It's otherwise known as cutting off our nose to spite our face. Now, there's some political nuances that are there as to what's driving all of this, which is curious as well. Because is it really about race? It can't just simply be about race, right, if we are allowing all of these other political nuances to enter into the arena. Again, that very nasty word, control, is there. We don't all come to the table with altruistic thoughts about how we want this to all work out. No, 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 no. We could only wish that it could be that simple. It's become a lot more complex. You see it with the two remaining congressional districts. You had one that actually supported this governor, minority, and you had another one who didn't. I guess they could play that game and try to punish somebody politically or not or otherwise. So I've chosen to just not pay very little attention to all these performative acts that are going on right now because they're really meaningless. They don't mean anything. They're just there to try and get your ire, to try and make you believe that there are people doing things that they haven't done themselves. They're misleading you. They're hypocrites. They've all done it. They've all done it. It's just this time it's not working to their benefit. Why? Goes back to their mantra of a couple elections ago. Elections have consequences. We'll be right back.